Some of you do not know Mel Newkirk. You are visiting with us. Miss Newkirk plays the organ, and Mr. Newkirk is her husband. But that, I don't know whether that belittles him or not. But anyway, she said, right, she is his wife. I don't know how you want to put it. Anyway, Mel was in the hospital, then learned that he had lung cancer and a brain tumor. They transferred him to Houston for treatment. And he was there many weeks, one of which I did not think he would live, and I don't think I was the only one with that pessimistic opinion. He did recover. He was paralyzed on his left side, arms, legs. And this morning, Mel is in church. He came last Sunday morning, a real walking miracle. While he was in the hospital, Mel received many cards. One of the first things that you noticed when you walked into his room was the whole wall was covered with cards. They were put in sections, and you've never gone to a room where they have the cards divided like you would in a store, you know. They had the birthday cards, and then they had the Valentine cards, and then they had the get well cards. And they were all in sections, and I guess if he'd been there long enough that he had anniversary cards. But anyway, it was really a colorful sight on the whole wall in front of his bed. And in one of those cards someone sent him, they included a story which was entitled The Dream. Mel said when he got out of the hospital and got his strength back, the first Sunday he came back to church, he wanted to hear me preach on that story. He came last Sunday morning, but I wasn't preaching because we had our guest missionary of the month. So this morning he's back, and I was called this week, and my wife took the phone and said, is Billy going to preach that sermon Sunday? And I said, yes, tell him I'll preach it Sunday. And so this morning, the sermon is as requested by Mr. Newkirk on the story of the dream that was in the card that was sent to him while he was in the hospital. I want to read to you the story. One night a man dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the skies flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times of his life. And this bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. And he said, Lord, you said that if I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I have noticed that during the most troublesome times of my life, that there is only one set of footprints in the sand. I don't understand why in times when I needed you most, you did not walk with me. The Lord replied, my precious child, I love you and would never, never leave you during your times of trials and suffering. When you see only one set of footprints in the sand, it's because I was carrying you. I thought that was an interesting story. I had never seen it, never read it, and never heard of it. And so Mr. Newkirk really was impressed with this and asked that I preach on it. Mel, I don't mind saying that I don't know what to say about the story. It pretty well says it all. What else can I say? So I thought about this story and what kind of message I could make out of it. I tried to come up with some scripture verses that I could use to parallel the story. It was getting close to Sunday, and I still couldn't come up with an idea what I was going to say about the story. And Friday morning, which to me is still a night time, it's dark outside, it's still the morning, though, you know, at 4:30 I woke up. I tell you, Brother Mel, you got me so worried I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. And I said, what am I doing awake? And I couldn't go back to sleep. And usually I can sleep real easy at night. But anyway, I couldn't go back thinking about what am I going to say about that story. And every angle I took got so bent out of shape, it didn't make any sense that I had to abandon it. And then a thought came to me that had some real possibilities, which I thought called possibility thinking, I guess. And as a result of my early morning contemplation, the thought that I came up with deepened my love for Christ and also gave me a clear view of God's love for me and for you. And so it's with that thought this morning that I got in early morning hours that I'm going to share with all of you. I guess at one time or another, all of us asked the question that the young man or young woman who wrote the story asked. I don't know whether it was a male or a female. That is the question of the dream. I guess it's the theme of many of our Christian hymns, one of which, and you know it very well, does Jesus care? When my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care? And then there are many songs that have been written that give the answer to that question, far too many than for us this morning to number. But I'm going to read you very rapidly some of the answers. Just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear, ready to help me, ready to cheer, just when I need Him most. Another one is, I must tell Jesus. I've sang these for you, but I can't sing. All of my trials, I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever lives and cares for His own. Here's one I like to sing. I've seen the lightning flashing. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. I've heard the voice of Jesus telling me to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, and one more. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And we could go on for hours this morning singing songs with words that would give us this kind of assurance. The person who wrote the dream just stated God's care for people in a little bit different way. That is, when the way gets rough, God Himself picks us up and carries us through it. I think equally plentiful, besides the songs or scriptures that tell us of the same kind of comforting news. I'll not take time to look these up. You might want to jot them down. Psalms 46:1, 1 Peter 5:7. But I want to take time to look at Romans 8. Didn't write those down, Psalms 46:1 and 1 Peter 5:7. But let's look at Romans 8, verses 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Then he gives a list here of things that some people think could do it. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Then he says, for it's written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Paul implies, oh, there are times when Christians really have it rough. I mean, there are times when it seems like we are nothing but sheep ready to be slaughtered. There are times when it seems as though everything's going wrong, but Paul says, we that are conquerors, we that stand up under the pressure, still are persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Notice there are still, though, mentioned here, both in the story of the dream and in these scriptures, the fact that though God carries you, or that God accompanies you, or though God loves you, there are still the trials and the tribulations and the questions and the heartache and the heartbreak. Now, you sometimes have a hard time reconciling how God can love us and at the same time be near us and carry us and yet allow us to go through such times of trial and suffering and sorrow. Now, I want to share with you this morning what, in those early hours when I couldn't sleep, that God added some deeper dimensions to the story I read to you at first and gave me some new insights that I had never seen before. I am as much like anybody else in the sense that I too don't want to go through trials and troubles and sorrows. I too want a life that is free from pain and trial and agony. I also am that much of a human. And I'm just like most other folks. As soon as something unpleasant happens, it doesn't take me long to begin to pray, Father, remove this cup from me now. I mean, it doesn't take long before I begin to pray that. I want temporary relief, if only temporary, and I want it immediately. But sometimes I feel like we get so concerned about temporary relief that we never really get interested in eternal relief. Yet I know, and this is not what I really want to preach on, I just want to throw this in for what it's worth. I think the Lord keeps heaven appealing to us by making earth a little bit less appealing than it really could be. And so sometimes when we have trials and tribulations, we say, well, Lord, if you can't change things, just take me home to heaven. You know? Sometimes we feel like, well, heaven is the answer. As long as we've got problems, heaven's always held out there before us in our minds. Well, there's an answer. And I'm not going to let go of my hope for heaven. And I've got me a good thing up there, and I'm going to hang on to it. So I think sometimes trials and tribulations make heaven shine brighter. You see, when the storm clouds grow darker down here. What I want to preach on this morning is that your trials can give you a greater admiration for the love of Christ than you now have, which normally is the opposite reaction, because normally when things happen, we ask, Lord, why did this happen to me? If you love me, now, girls, y'all quit acting up on the front row. You're too old for that. All right. Did that in love, but I had to say it. Now, you distract me. Let's go back to how we can find trials to admire us. That is, to admire Christ and give Him the kind of love and glory and admiration we as Christians ought to do. And here's what God revealed to me about the footprints in the sand. Follow the little picture I'm going to draw for you. The day that God saves you, and I'm going to use myself here, but I want to include you to make it simpler for me in saying it. I'm just going to put me, but I want you to put you in the story as I put me in the story. The day that God reached down and saved me, He scooped up a little bit of the sand that was beneath my feet. You follow me so far? Now, let me say something about the sand. It was beneath my feet. He only got a part of the sands of my times in his hand. Now, what are the sands of my time? From the day of my birth, all the way through my earthly life, into all of eternity. That's the sands of my time. Now, when God saved me, he reached down and scooped up a part of the sand of my times with me. Not all the sand, but just a part of the sands of my time in his hand. And I'm still in the world. I still walk on the sand. But in a real sense, I have been removed from a great deal of the sands of my time when the Lord reached down and picked me up. From the day of my salvation forward, I still walk in the sand, but the sand is in his hand. Huh? You follow me now? I never will know, since that day he saved me, what life would ever be like if I did not walk in the sand in his hand. And there's a difference between walking on the sand of your times without Jesus than it is walking in his hand on the sand that he scooped up. There's so much of the life of the sands of my time that was left behind, I'll never know in this life, and especially in eternity. I'll never know what the sands of my time will ever be like, because all I do now is walk on the sand in his hand. And he holds me. I'm still walking on some of the sand, but I'll never know what it would be like to walk on all of it without Jesus. And I thank the Lord for that. Because I know from what little sand I walk on, the sands of time are treacherous, and they're shifty, and oh, at times they're cruel. And I don't walk on much sand, folks, but what little I walk on, I've learned that already. But if I really want to know what it's like to walk on the sands of time, all I have to do is to go where all the footprints of all the ages cross. You know where that is? At Calvary. That's all I got to do. And I want to take you this morning to Calvary. And I want to show you what it's like to walk on the sands of time. What it's like to miss walking in the sand in his hand. If you will, look at Isaiah 53 real quickly. I'll tell you, time gets away from the study. Sand of time just runs out. So Isaiah 53. Verse 3 and 4 is talking about the man who died on Calvary, which was Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. Now, you folks, identify these definition words here with the fact this is the way life is that's lived when you walk with footprints on the sand in this lawn. Notice, have you ever felt despised? Didn't have any friends? Have you ever been sarcastically hurt? Have you ever wept? Have you ever been rejected? Have you ever had any solace? Notice it says, Christ was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, a man of grief. Everybody turned their face from him. They won't have anything to do with him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows. And surely he hath borne our griefs. Notice, he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Have you ever been afflicted? I tell you, my heart always goes out for afflicted folks. You may say, well, Jesus never was afflicted. I'll beg your pardon. Oh, yes, he was. He never did have a sore throat. I'll beg your pardon. I'll beg your pardon. He never had cancer. I'll beg your pardon. He never knew loneliness. I'll beg your pardon. You don't know what you're talking about. For all of the hurt of the sands of time for every individual was born and experienced by Jesus Christ on the cross. Everything will ever come to you, plus a hundredfold more, came to him on the cross. Look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 15. Talking about Jesus, we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched by our feelings of our infirmities. How come we can know he can be touched? Because he was like us in every point. The sands of time were cruel to Jesus. And on that cross, he walked up every lonesome valley you could ever walk up. He walked down every heartbreak ridge you could ever walk. He walked every tormenting mountain you could ever climb. He went down every confused alley you could ever go. And there's not a pain, there's not an agony, there's not a misery, and there's not a loneliness, and there is not a discouragement that Jesus did not meet and endure and experience and feel there on the cross. And then you add to that that he did that kind of thing for all of us. He took all of our miseries, of all of our sins of time, and he took it for an eternity. And there's one of the great mysteries how God could do that. And I want to tell you, folks, what the man who walked on the sands had to say. I thirst. You ever been thirsty? Have you ever wanted some kind of relief and you couldn't get it? Jesus said, I thirst for relief. And no relief came. He said, my God, I'm forsaken. Have you ever felt that way? He did. Now that's the sands of time. And all of us, as we walk with our footprints on the sand, come across those moments in our pathway when our feet are on treacherous, hurtful, sorrowful ground. And Jesus was the same way. And his life blood ran down that cross and dropped into the footprints in the sand. Does he know what it means to be cut? Does he know what it means to have operation with an anesthetic? Does he know what it means to stick thorns in his feet? Oh, yes, he knows. He knows very well. You and I, as Christians, we walk in the sand in his hand. Oh, we don't know nothing of what it's like to walk in the sand of times without him this day. You got it better off than you'll ever know. Jesus walked on the sands of time, and the Bible says he fell beneath the load. He fell beneath the cross. Why did he go through all that? He loved you. And he wanted to be able to claim us and say, there's one I can reach down and scoop up in the palm of my hand that they don't have to walk on the sand that I was crucified on. Why did he do that? He loved us. I want to say this, the footprints of Jesus in the sand beneath the cross warn the unsaved man what's in store for him. But it tells the Christian what God has removed him from. What a blessed picture that is. And it tells him that he's escaped. Not all of the sands of the time, but he's escaped a great deal of the sands of the time. And I want to go on. Here's the second thing I saw. Jesus, in a sense, says, I want you to know a little bit of what I went through to show you I love you. I want you to know a little bit of what the pain I endured, how it felt, the agony I went through. I want you to have a little bit of a sample of the sands of the time. And so he scoops up a little bit of the sand as he saves us. And we walk on the sand in his hand, but it still contains those quicksand moments when we feel the pain that Jesus felt to save us. I want to say this. When it seems as though we can't bear up and it's worse than we can ever take, you just remember it was worse for Jesus than it could ever be for you. You may weep now, but you just remember that Jesus wept harder. And you know what it means to weep. If you hurt now, you remember that Jesus hurt worse. And you know what he went through to save you. If you're lonesome now, you remember that Jesus was more lonesome when all deserted him. And there was no one left. No, not even one friend. You have a little bit of the sense of the agony Jesus went through as you walk on the sand in his hand. I'm thankful that we don't have to walk upon all the sand of our life. It's bad enough just walking on that little bit that was scooped up in God's hand. We may be far removed from the battlefield below in our lives, but we still keep getting the shockwaves. What that kind of life is like. We have a limited sample today of the trials that lie ahead for the unsaved. I want to say something here just real quickly. I believe the sands of the time are setting the stage for the kind of life that the unsaved man will have forever. It's not a very pretty picture. Death is in nothing for that man. The sands of the time just get worse. And there is sorrow and misery and pain and loneliness throughout all eternity. But this morning you and I have been scooped up by the love of God, given our lives to Christ, and now we walk free of that great danger. What a privilege. But as you get sick, you get hurt, you have agony, you have trials, it just reminds you of what Jesus had to go through to save you. You get a foretaste of what it's like the lost man forever with no relief. You know how I am about liking things to rhyme. I wrote this one for you. Then I'll close. We walk upon the sands in his hand and are joined by a mighty angel band. And we're heading for that better land where trials cease and all is grand. When trials come to us, as we walk upon the sand in his hand, you feel a little bit of what Jesus felt a lot of. You suffer a little of what Jesus had to suffer a lot of. You hurt a little where Jesus had to hurt a lot. And you grieve a little where Jesus had to grieve a lot. I want to close with 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5. Paul said, "The sufferings of Christ abound in us." The sufferings of Christ abound in us. There is purpose to the sufferings in the sand in his hand. Father, we're thankful this morning for the knowledge to know that we have been lifted, not completely spared, but at least lifted in this life from much of the danger and pitfalls and the quicksand of a life without God. And as we go through our life of trials and sufferings and loneliness and discouragement and bodily pain, we are reminded of how you felt there on the cross. We are reminded of what you had to go through that we could be saved from the sins of eternal time. This morning we are aware, some maybe more than others, of the hurt and the pain and the tears and the agony that was yours upon the cross. We can identify and know how you felt. And we're so thankful this morning that you have lifted us up. And though we are in the sand in your hand, we know there's relief. And on the cross there was none. We're so thankful this day for the grace that you give unto those who walk in the sand in your hand. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.